Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, RCC. Welcome, Joe here, and bringing on our good friend, Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
Doing okay, brother. Glad to have you aboard tonight, as always.
Yep.
As always. I want to go ahead and unmute our other companions, Tana and...
Hi, guys. I love you all.
Hi, Tana.
Hi, Tana.
Hi, love you. I'm good. Love you, Jesus. Love you, chat. Love you, everybody listening. I'm good. Thank you.
And a special what's up, Keith. Hey, Keith. How are you, brother?
Hey, Keith. Love you, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
You're unmuted whenever you want to chat, but we're glad to have you, as always. So, anything you, Jerry, Donna, you guys want to share?
I've got a couple things, but I have a question. I didn't log in, but I don't see chat. Did we open chat?
Yeah, try to re-log in again. It's going up now. I didn't get it going until midway through the song. So.
Okay, just checking.
So, yeah, everyone listening, chat is now open. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Hey, Donna.
Got it going. Just.
Did you have something, Tana?
No. I'm good.
Okay.
Just hanging out with you guys.
Okay, cool. I'm just like glad to be in the mix again. Out of the mix for a couple of days, and you know, it's I just miss it. And he used it, but it was. And he was kind of shady about it, Judy says. Because I was sort of like, well, I knew it wasn't, I just didn't have an opportunity where I could call in or listen. And I couldn't even listen to the archives overnight. But then he kept doing things to remind me of everybody. And that went on all the way through last night. So he was teasing me. In a good way.
Isn't that great, though? He's done the same thing to me. Like, so long ago now, I look back, early January, listening to this, and it's like, whatever. And then you miss a show, and you realize, oh, my goodness, how fond you are of it. Fond's not the right word. How much you just love it, and it becomes, like, my favorite part of the day. And I know I speak for everyone, Jerry. We're just so happy to have you and so blessed to have you, brother. Like, so definitely good to have your voice tonight.
I really appreciate that, but I feel the same way about everybody else. So, because there was like 2 days, and we kind of went over one day, and then the next morning I woke up and I was like, well, I didn't get to do anything with everybody, and there is this. I just am convinced there's a sort of a spiritual family connection that goes just beyond, people you chat with. And, it's something he's doing, and he's something he's doing now. And he's done it for his reasons. And I think it's real, and I think we feel it. And so the next morning I woke up, and, I get going, and we had a kind of an early start. And I'm thinking, you know what, I didn't get to do anything yesterday. It kind of bugged me all day and to hang out with people or even listen to the archive. But this is sort of a new day, and I know I can't do anything with it for a while. So I just want to feel like, I was saying to myself, I just want to feel like I'm not missing it. I don't want to be preoccupied by it. So I get in the elevator. I go down the elevator, and I get out of the elevator on the first floor, and I'm walking down the hall, and I hear exactly one song that they're playing on the intercom, and it was All of Me.
He always gets you.
It was like, oh, okay, I get it. Because, clearly he wanted me thinking of you guys in the show, so what I thought the strategy I had planned for the morning went away immediately, and it was just hilarious. And so the rest of the day pretty well went like that.
I think I want to say that's a song Bill heard recently too, playing.
Huh?
I want to say Bill heard that song playing too.
I want to bring on another essential part of every show, our mama Pat, who we all love so much.
Hi guys, I'm listening.
Hi.
You know that song? Yeah, that song.
Yeah.
I heard you guys talking about it, Judy or somebody, a while ago, and I'm racking my brain down. Jesus, what are they talking about, this song? It sounds so beautiful. Well, I had it on the TV, and bam, there comes a song, just like that, right in my face. So
wow.
Here it is. But today, I had to pick up my drop my little doggy off, or Laura's dog off, and they had a picnic, and Usher was playing You Are My Everything. And it was like, I had tears. You know, he hits you.
Mm-hmm.
He just hits you like that. Yeah.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hits you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He worked on me all day. It wasn't overloading. I mean, we had a really good day and so on. But he just made sure. He was playing songs in my head most of the day. And
yeah,
and
he
I
does
just,
that.
You know, sometimes a song will get stuck in your head, and it's just
mm-hmm.
kind of annoying. But this time, I knew it was him doing it, and I just laughed.
Oh, yes. I can go into a supermarket, and there'll be some stupid, crazy song, and then all of a sudden, the most beautiful love song will come on, and I could almost cry, because I know he's wooing me. He's done this since I'm 20 years old, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Every love song that came on, it was like he was pursuing me, and I was answering him back. And I'm going to be 71, so it's a long time, guys. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, yes, yes. Enjoy.
Yeah, yep. We're definitely a family in the Holy Spirit, and he wants it on our mind. I mean, he really clearly does. I had that experience very powerfully. He wanted it on my mind, not just, you know, affection, but on my mind.
Yeah. Jerry, I want to ask you a question. I was looking at the media reports, and it has four categories: fragmentation, how many, the noise issue, and how large they were. And it had a chart, and this one we went to October 13th. 2013, the fireballs increased, like the chart. I could have fallen over to see the increase in the chart. And they're talking about Nibiru, is that what it is? And they're saying, what is causing all these fireballs to come at us? And I don't know, I really don't know if I believe in this Nibiru thing or if that's what's causing it, this 3,600-year thingy that comes around again. What? Something's causing the fireballs to be more atrocious.
I know what you're talking about, and there's the whole Hopi Indian prophecy, which Andrea talks about, and some others, and then that's interpreted by other people as Nibiru, and this sort of wandering tenth planet type thing, or the companion star to the sun. And I've seen all these things, and they can't all be the answer, I don't think. So with that in mind, some of it is comet debris. I mean, it's been amazing the number of comets we've had in the solar system in the last year or year and a half.
Right.
So there's certainly something going on. I heard one general explanation that just said, the solar system actually does travel through space.
Yeah.
And, the one explanation was that we're just entering an area solar system-wide where there's more debris. That could be true.
That makes sense.
But, there's some other things out there. But I know for sure that there's actually large budgets supporting disinformation that's wrong, that's intentionally put out there.
Okay, sure.
And I've seen a lot of evidence firsthand of that type of operation. And so the thing is, it makes it very, very difficult to decide what's real and what's not. And many years ago, I was on a bulletin board where somebody brought up the Nibiru thing, and there was a lot of anxiety about it. And I just said, if it's real, it's sent by God. And it's going to be under his control just like everything else. And
exactly.
So I think watching is good, and I think we see these things, and I have learned, this is one of the reasons I have really pared down the number of people I pay attention to, because partly because I know a lot of them over time are not reliable. But, you know, there's a lot of good-hearted people out there.
Oh, sure.
Do YouTube videos and things.
Yes.
And they just don't always get the science right. They try to, but they just
right.
don't. And
so, this was alarming, the increase in the fireballs, the chart. It was alarming.
That's real.
It was alarming.
There is no
it
doubt
was
about
scary.
That. There is something going on. And,
there is something going on. You got it.
Yeah, yeah. There's no doubt about it. The question is, I think, you know, and see, that's the great thing where we're at, is that we can see increases in earthquakes. We can see them downgrade 7.3s to 6.9s, so they don't register as an increase or as much of an increase in 7.0s, the natural breakoff point. So, but from our point of view, we know these things are out there, different things are coming, and that's the one thing we know. Something's happening. There's too many people who can give firsthand reports of these things happening.
Right.
And that's what we can believe is real. The explanations for it come from all different kinds of places.
I know.
And, in the end, the fact that earthquakes have increased, there's signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, those are all things that are real. They're prophetically and scripturally accurate. And we can believe in that, for sure. So what the cause of it is, we may not know because they don't seem to want to tell us anymore. But
right.
I know more than one person who's pretty high up in those sorts of things. And, we can't talk specifics. But we had a conversation. One person that I saw fairly recently had a conversation, and basically it was a general conversation about the breakdown and the reliability of the information that our official sources give us for these sorts of events. And he agreed with that.
Mm-hmm.
He agreed that the information is less reliable than it has been in the past.
Wow. Yeah, I guess.
So
they don't want to have panic.
No, so I don't know what the cause of it is. It could be this Nibiru thing, but what I see, I've tried to pay enough attention to the things that are real and or apparently real, and I don't see, I haven't been able to find a common theme that fits everything, let's put it that way.
Right, right. No, I agree.
Yeah.
But I just mentioned it because when I saw the increase on the chart of the fireballs, that was only 2013. They didn't even get into, and they're saying, could it be that this thing is coming and it's throwing all these rocks at us? But, the comets, we've had a lot of comets, like you said, so that could be what it is too, or we are moving in a different part of the universe, So those explanations are out there too,
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and the two
I
sons,
know what you mean.
Pictures of the two sons. Yeah.
I want to
go ahead
and welcome two more callers to our
conversation. Oh, yes, honey, go ahead.
We have Stacy on the line.
Hi, Stacy.
Oh,
she's had a great dream. She's got a great dream she needs to share. I don't know how long
cool.
she has to talk about the phone,
Stacey,
but okay.
Please call back and we'll let you right on. And we also have Nick on the line.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Nick. Love you.
I love you guys.
Love you. How
are you
guys
love
doing?
Love you guys.
Okay, how are you?
Doing good.
Good. Got
out of work, so I'm super happy to be able to be vocal. It was so hard last time having the earbud in and not being able to, chime in. So
right,
I'm excited to be able to be vocal today.
Excellent.
Nice.
Stacy
guys,
calling in?
I'm waiting for her, but in the interim, we have Leah on the line now, too. Yay.
Hi, Leah.
Hi, Leah.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi.
So, everyone, how are you, Leah?
I'm good. Hi,
good.
Sorry, I'm getting, texting stuff. Let's all, I know Stacy's in chat. Let's all harass her to call back. We want to hear. What did she have a dream, Donna?
She had a dream, that she had last night. Very cool.
I got a text about it. We have to hear about that.
Oh, yeah.
Stacey, we're going to sit here in silence until you call that.
That is a must.
Mm-hmm.
Stacey!
She'll be calling. She'll be calling in a few. So when she does, I'm going to interrupt because Stacey has, kids, young kids.
Oh,
so
I know. It's hard for her to be on
the
phone sometimes.
Yeah. When she calls in, I apologize. Who's ever going to be?
Oh
talking,
no, that's okay. No, no, get it on. My goodness.
We're all so excited to hear about it.
No, yeah. Oh yeah, it's a good dream. she was talking this morning. What's
that? Is that you, Keith? Am I hearing Keith's voice, or is that
Nick? Is Keith there?
Yeah, it's Keith there.
Oh, hi, Keith.
Oh, hi, Keith.
How are you feeling today, Keith?
Oh, okay. Doing all right. I was just busy.
Yeah.
Trying to some computer reading. So,
it'll get better.
It's been hot here. It's been like 104 every day.
Super hot right here, too.
It's probably humid where you're at, right, Nick?
No, it's not humid where I am in Colorado
at
all. It's super
dry
all the time.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And I've been trying to make sure you drink your water and stay hydrated. You know, LA was much cooler. Yeah.
But the nights are nice. What was it you heard on the radio today about the earthquake?
I just heard briefly. I don't know too much about it, but they've been having a series of earthquakes in Greeley, Colorado, and they don't know what's going on and why it's happening. They're trying to blame fracking, but I doubt that it's, we all know what's going on.
Yes.
There's that guy. That guy predicted July 12th is going to be the big quake, that guy that studied the California quakes. He said they all happened every
10th.
Well, then you're going to get a little quake. He said every bad earthquake that killed people in California was always first thing in the morning between 3 and 5 or in the evening time around between like 4 and 6. And he's right, because I started thinking about it. Oh, my gosh, all the quakes I've experienced have all been at that time. He said July 12th is going to be a big one and September 9th. And then also, as I'm sure Pat already knows, Paul Begley, he talked about there's 3 solar flares released from the sun tomorrow that are hitting Earth, so we should see. Usually takes about 2 days. Within Sunday we'll hit probably hit some big quakes around the world, which means we should be raptured.
The solar flares will be okay. They're not going to cause a lot of real problems. They said they're worried about the ones that come after that, though, because there'll be more. So we're okay. They said nothing really terrible is going to happen on the 13th, but they can't
talk. We're
okay
no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the big one, Pat. Don't be talking it down, honey. No.
No. You don't want to lose your communications, though. You don't want it to zap out your communications.
No, it'll all go down and we'll all go up, and that'll be the end of that.
As long as we go up. If everything goes down, I'm fine with that.
Worse are going up.
I don't want another Sandy here.
that was
a nightmare. 14 days without power. That was not fun, guys.
Come on, Pat.
Nightmare.
Have some faith, Pat. We've got a full
moon
on Friday
the 13th,
and a solar flare. Come on, let's go.
That's a very rare thing. What is it? How many years it is until the next time that a Friday the 13th, a full moon falls on it?
Oh my!
But it's either 294 years or 492 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
That
it's
happens.
Crazy.
It's not like
it's crazy.
Early 30
crazy.
Years kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like a really rare thing. And does anyone ever know what is why?
Yes, dear.
Okay, well, Pat, if those things are happening, we definitely won't be here on Earth.
I know.
Send it on, Nibiru.
Send it on, Lord. We're ready for it. We're not going to be here. Send those fireballs. We'll just ride one to heaven. Hey.
Just, Joe, just so you know, Stacey is going to come on the air. I don't know when she'll be on, but she has got an amazing, amazing dream that she had that she wants
yes.
to share as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, so good.
Oh, it's excellent.
Yeah, but you heard
very
of that.
Very happy
yeah,
for her.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. excellent.
Yeah, she read it on the morning show, or Chris read it
yes,
on the morning show.
Yes,
oh, okay.
Great.
Well, I told her to come on the evening show, so I hope she will, because, boy, it's
well,
amazing.
She called, but then had to hang up because the connection was bad. She's calling back.
I told
okay.
her to give all the kids lots of candy, and then while they're chewing the candy, then get on the air.
You're right. I hope
just,
Carol will
wanted,
share
like,
again what she said on this morning. She spoke Hebrew in praise songs to or praise worship to God. It was so beautiful.
Yeah,
I mean, it was
very,
so, oh, wasn't that great? Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. I hope she did it again. That was beautiful.
I
want
to let you guys
beautiful.
Know I'm getting texts from Judy. She wants me to tell you guys that she's, you know, she's at her nephew or the nephew's graduation, but she'll
oh.
be in chat later. But also, she loves and misses you all so much. So
oh,
she's
we love
about
her.
You right
we love
now.
Her.
And,
it's not the same without
point,
her,
right? But this is case in point. What we started the show with, you know, Jerry, we were talking about. You know, you don't realize until you miss the show, and you're like, wow, I really miss my brothers and sisters and the fellowship
oh, sure.
that the Lord has gifted us
yeah.
in this time. So,
yeah,
definitely. So I really wanted to, you know, to pass that on because Judy has so much
mm-hmm.
love for all of you. We're very
no,
blessed.
We love
yeah.
her. Sure.
We love Judy. We miss her, too. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Carol's posting her Hebrew and that she said this morning, Baruch Hashem Ha Mashiach Yeshua, blessed name of Messiah Jesus.
Amen.
Hashem Ha Mashiach Yeshua.
Oh, it's so anointing. So beautiful.
That's so cool Carol's doing that. I want her to get on show.
Oh,
I just want her to get on and only talk in Hebrew.
You have
time.
To hear her
right.
speak this. She,
really?
She lets it
beautiful,
flow.
Huh?
It's so
wow.
beautiful. And then
wow.
she went to the mall, she said, and she was talking to the Jewish men there, and they were jumping up and down because
really?
She was reciting all this to them in
wow.
Hebrew, and they got all excited. And I said, oh, my gosh, that was so funny. So she has to tell that story. That is so cute. But she says it so beautifully. Very anointed. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, love it.
We love our Carol.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, you hear the Hebrew, it's just gorgeous, you know.
It is. Well, you know, the Hebrew's
oh.
got all those, there's those sounds in Hebrew that are
oh.
emit vibrations into the world that actually, you know, heal people and everything. Every healing verse is in Hebrew. There's like a book.
That's
why I'm not good at it, but you can pronounce it and it kind of you sound it out and stuff.
So it was beautiful when she was speaking, and it was just beautiful.
Wow.
She did so beautifully.
Hey,
I hope she'll do it again.
Carol.
Carol.
Sure love. We have Carol
good job,
calling
Carol.
In right now. That's
oh, she's
Carol.
Got she's got to say
there
this.
You
she says,
you
she
that
says it
thing.
With so beautifully.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Carol.
Baruch Hashem HaMashiach Yahashua Baruch Hashem Adonai Echad. Blessed is the name of
oh,
Messiah. Jesus, blessed is the name of the Lord. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. The Lord is one.
That's beautiful.
Amen.
That is so beautiful. Thank you, honey.
Repeat the
so
first.
Beautiful.
Repeat the first part again, because you weren't fully on. Repeat. Or repeat it again. Like I made you do in the morning. Will you say it again?
Yeah,
so
we want to hear it again, Carol. It sounded so cool. Oh, I think she's fallen into a trance. Carol might be having a vision.
Oh, did Jesus just translate you without us because you did that?
You learned the secret code.
Carol, we want Carol to read the whole Bible in Hebrew. Carol, read the whole Bible in Hebrew. Where is she?
Carol, where are you?
Did you mute yourself, Carol?
She's
unmuted. Did you mute
your... Nope, she's...
No, but
she may have
found it herself.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think she got translated. Carol, where'd
you
go?
Oh, jeepers, that would translate you for sure.
We got to get to her house and we got to get that Hebrew she read so we can get translated.
Rope, Carol. Send down the rope.
Okay. Oh, guys, we have Stacy back.
Okay.
Stacey,
all right.
Excellent.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi. How are you?
Hey, girlfriend.
Good. Very excited to hear from you. And by the way, I'm excited to talk to you in a few.
So I'm going to read it, even though I like when you just read it better. Sounds so much better for me. But also, Keith, I don't know if you want me to read your interpretation.
Oh,
Keith.
My goodness, I put you all on hold, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know if you heard me.
Stacy, read it, and then read the other part.
Okay, I'm going to read it. Okay, does Carol need to finish up first?
No, we're going to interrupt her again. We're going to wait and give you time. Put Carol on hold for a couple hours, and we'll go on to Stacy.
I was just saying again how I love to bless the Lord in Hebrew all the day long, and I love saying Baruch Hashem HaMashiach Yahushua Baruch Hashem Adonai Echad, and I love to tease, not really tease people, but you know, I like to if I'm around some friends that are believers, you know, I will just look at them and I'll just say, hey, Baruch Hashem HaMashiach Yahushua, Baruch Hashem Adonai Echad.
Beautiful.
Thank you, honey. Stacy, please read that part.
The first thing what happened was I got a date of the 12th, like around 4 days ago. And, well, this is a dream I got this morning. I woke up at 3:30. And so fell back to sleep. I dreamt the baby I had was there. Also, my cousin, who was either being deployed or coming home. She's in the military. And after watching the news when I got home, I realized why, because of Iraq. But it really comes hand in hand. And then I saw my love. I knew we were getting married, and it was that day, because he had to leave right away. He needed to get back to work the next day. And I put in bracket, it could have been the elopture. I remember I was looking at him. He was in disguise. However, I knew it was him, because he came in at a time where no one else expected him, but I knew it was him because we're expecting Jesus today. So I knew, but he came at a time when we were either doing something else, but it was not like a wedding was planned or anything like that. He came surprisingly. And however I knew it was him, I had to go to the store to get stuff. I knew I had limited time because I was getting married. I had two helpers helping me to find the stuff I needed, a man and a woman. They were workers, and I put in bracket, I believe they were angels. While I was in the store, I realized I had just given birth, and I was overwhelmed. I was wearing white. My love then text me, will you marry me? I started to smile in the dream. I was going to text him back to let him know he should propose to me face to face, but I was too happy. I did find a baby lotion, a travel size one. Now I was looking for a baby wash, a travel size. My helper helped me to find them. Remembering, I just had given birth. I was feeling weak and tired, and I knew I overdid it in the store. I saw blood on my dress. The girl, which I think was one of my angel with me, ran in the back or in an office and got me a huge gleaming white pad. I was leaving to go home to get married, and the helper said she cannot drive herself. She's weak. They both offered to drive me home. There was some obstacle, but nothing major. But I was making it home with my helper. These two helper, I believe, was an angel, was my angel or angel. When I woke up, I was so happy. I heard the Lord said, "You didn't answer me." I believe he said that. So I was screaming yes in my head. She said he heard me the first time, and he was laughing. So that was the dream. There was more
beautiful
details, but I can't remember, but I'm going to read what Keith had wrote me back about the dream, which he filled in the gap that I couldn't fill in, and it was amazing what he wrote, the prediction that God gave him or the interpretation that God gave him. Okay. This is what Keith had wrote. I'm sorry. I'm looking for it because I don't have good brain memory. So the kids took it.
It's funny.
Okay.
I was thinking the same thing that Keith, that you got. I was thinking the same thing that you had gotten.
I'm trying to read what Keith said.
All right, let me find it. Let me go to Facebook and get the whole Facebook chat. Speaking of Facebook chat, Stacy and Keith are having a great conversation about me. What I'll be doing, what I have to do, my mission they're sending me on. Involves cupcakes, that's all I'm going to say.
Nice. That's
it
yum.
Involves what?
Cupcakes. Of course.
Yes.
This is Keith's interpretation. Being tired in the dream was the bride being very weary and tired. The blood was the sin, and the white pad was how Jesus forgives our sins, which make our garments white. The obstacle on the way home in the dream are the obstacles or trials we are facing before we get home to see our Lord. Is that all, Keith? That's what I was reading.
Yeah, that was it.
Also, you know, I was sitting on my desk today, too, and I was having some alone time with the Lord, and he actually said to me, let me see what I said. He actually said to me, I could hear him saying to me, "Stacy, I'm coming."
Aww.
And he said, "Believe me. Do you believe me?" And I said, "Yes."
Good.
And I said, "But when?" He says, "Now."
Praise
so
God.
He told me to prepare my household. And I asked him, how should I do that? And he said, "Go home and anoint your house and anoint your kids."
Oh, wow.
And I did,
wow.
Yes. So I was kind of like, how do I prepare my household, Lord? And I exactly know what to do. He wants me to anoint the mantle of my house and anoint every windows and doors, and I will obey him to you. And I'm like, Lord, please remind me. And on my way home, I remember he reminded me to stop at the store, and I got 100% virgin olive oil. I'm going to bless the oil, and I'm going to do what he tells me to do.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that dream is just so profound. You know, it's like she had just given birth, which probably could have been the tribulation as well, you know, and then going through a weary period which the bride is definitely weary, you know, and trying to get through the obstacles and the trials to get to our destination, you know, over the finish line, you know, and then also having, you know, the spots on the garments. Jesus is constantly wiping the garments clean with his blood so that we live in pure, you know, so we look pure and holy for him when he comes back, you know, and all this is definitely all set up. So her dream was very, very prophetic, you know, and the fact that at the end when Jesus says, you know, did you hear me? And she's saying, yes, 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 you know. And so we're all ready to go, and it's all set up right now, you know, and we're done with. And my friend Brian was saying today that Brian OT4 Jesus, he's got a big YouTube channel, but he was saying that he feels we're going through the final trial, which is the Abrahamic kind of trial, like, you know, where he had to sacrifice his son, kind of that final finish line trial, you know, finale thing. So, but thank you, Stacy, for sharing that. That was so beautiful, especially the last part.
Thank you, honey. You know what was prophetic, too, with what really got me was when I came home and I put on the news and I heard about Iraq, and then I remember my cousin had been in the military, and I knew either she was going, we were having like a celebration for her, or she was coming home, but there was something with military. And so the Lord was just showing me how close, because while we were doing that, that's when he walked in. So kind of, that's awesome. And believe me, I feel like I woke up with a big smile on my face this morning.
Wow.
Sure.
And that's what we were talking about, that Stacy and I were talking about, you know, what's going on with sending the military over there to stop this stuff in Iraq. And I said, Tana's working undercover. I mean, she's whenever she's caught, she just gives them some of her cupcakes and she gets through the airport and all that with all her armor, all her security stuff. They see all her guns in her purse, but she's got cupcakes. And boy, they pull her in the back, she gives them some cupcakes, and off she goes on the plane with all this stuff. So she's our undercover agent.
Yeah, this is what Keith's book. Tana's a part of the undercover SWAT team. She hides it all with her cupcakes, as they never suspect her. And she's eating her cupcakes, so they let her through security. And she bribes him with cupcakes. And he was saying, I have my armor in my purse, and I have, like, all my files and tools in my cupcakes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what he's saying. Yeah. And
you know, that Syria thing is pretty serious because, you know, Turkey is cutting back that water in that Euphrates River. It's probably
freaking dried
up. You know, it's down 20 feet. So Syria is getting... Syria's in the middle of a war, as we all know, and they're getting cut off with water. I mean, they're going to have, like, no water for their people. And here's another crazy thing. It's down 20 feet, can you imagine? So they're cutting off the water. Turkey's cutting off the water. Then Syria's getting their water, and they're trying to keep whatever they have. So Iraq's going to get, like, no water. And here's the crazy part is Iraq has a big dam there, they said. And if the water gets any lower, significantly lower, that dam could explode because of the low pressure. And they said that would put the entire Baghdad underwater as part of the Atlantic Ocean. Real quick.
Oh, wow.
Yes. This is what they're worried about as we speak. Yeah. Very serious.
Gosh.
Which means time to...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tana.
How about... I was going to say, it says in end-time headlines, Americans being evacuated from Iraqi airbase as militants advance. That was breaking news on end-time headlines.
Okay.
Wow.
So you can see if that happens. I mean, and the Bible says that the very last war where China will invade from the east on horseback, they're going to go over that Euphrates River. So that thing has to be dried up. So this is all Psalm 83, final Armageddon war setting up. Yeah.
And Keith, when I came home, what I saw was Obama on television saying that, oh, we need to help Iraq and the Iraqi people. And we're like, oh no, we're sending our troops back overseas. And
okay.
I was like, just brought that dream back to me.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. Yeah.
That keeps coming. Even with the solar flare that they have in or whatever, I don't even understand too much, but I remember early this year I had a dream that something came from the sky and it hit me in my back and in my front, like in my chest area, but it didn't hurt. It was like an energy, it was like a shock-like, but it did not hurt. And I remember that today when they were talking about it, that I had that dream that I saw it coming. And it hit me, and it was like it gave me like a charge or something like that, electric charge. But and I was like, wow. And God brought that dream back to me because I never write my dreams down at all. So,
what do you think, Stacey? Is it a solar flare, or what were you thinking that it was?
I thought it was just he's taking me.
Oh, okay.
That's what I thought. I thought it was a translation. Because it was the way it felt, I thought that's what it was.
Wow.
Jerry, what do you got to say about that? Jerry's kind of quiet today. Something's wrong with him. Are you feeling okay?
Hey, You know, I got to listen to the last two evening shows in the archives, and I just love so much that everybody, it just feels like there's such a growing energy, and more people are having experiences and things to talk about. I just really loved it. So I was like, oh, this is just more of the same. This is great.
Totally.
I was sitting here thinking, you know, that area in the Middle East is just getting so stirred up. There's so many things happening there that it just seems hard to imagine that the larger powers that be will continue to act calmly and rationally for very much longer, because there's tremendous pressure and a lot of movement going on with all these things. The Western forces have spent so much time trying to basically protect Iraq from Iran, and we're very close to the point where someday one of our government officials is going to make a statement where they're going to be relying on Iran to protect Iraq. I mean, everything's just flipping around, and there's just this stuff in Iraq, I think, is a really big deal. It's really organized and well-funded.
Oh, yeah.
And just like you were saying, there's all this pressure from the River Euphrates with drying up. And, you know, it all starts, of course, because they've been having a prolonged drought. And now you've got the different governments acting for various reasons. And it really is a powder keg.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that too, Joe. I believe even with Iraq thing, when I was watching it, I just felt it's organized. I think it's a setup. And I just felt that in my spirit that, oh, no, it's a setup big time. And it's a bigger picture to them behind it.
Yeah. Has anybody ever seen or remember the movie Wag the Dog?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Well, it's I was not a fan of it at the time, but not that long ago, I went and made sure I watched it, because so much of what we're seeing is just like Stacey said, it's pre-planned, pre-organized. What they did was, in Wag the Dog, was they made a make-believe war with make-believe refugees, and they hired a movie producer to direct it all. And they used it as a publicity campaign to support whatever the political people wanted to do. And we're seeing that on an enormous scale now all around the world. And this is what gets passed along as actual news. And there's a lot of documentation that this has been done for quite a while widely. And it's just Stacey, I think what Stacey just said is probably very correct. It's organized, it's staged, but it in some respects is real, and it relates to putting pressure on people. And even if we don't know all the details, it means they're moving their plans forward and creating excuses to do the things that they want to do. So one way or another, I mean, Israel, the cat's kind of out of the bag where Israel is concerned. I mean, it's very clear to the public that, you know, the U.S. government and pretty much nobody in the world is going to get in the way of the Iranian nuclear program, which seems to be real. And they're going to have to deal with it sooner or later.
Guys, this is going to segue perfect into news, but just for time constraints, I asked Tana if she would read a word that I had pulled up and wanted to share with you guys. It's from a sister in Christ. Her name's Alicia. I thought it'd be better, though, if you guys heard it in another sister in Christ's voice rather than mine. Tana, you have that pulled up. Could you read that for us before you leave for work?
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
This is published on January 21st, 14. Are you ready? Are you ready to dive deeper into the truths that have been long hidden away? Stay with me. Stay in my presence, and I will lead you into realms unknown. Children, the spiritual world is residing all around you, but you must first open your spiritual eye in order to see it. Meditate with me, and every once in a while, be still and feel the presence of God. Remember, children, the kingdom of God is within. People will not say, look here or look there, for again, I say unto you, it is inside of you. Many of my messengers are mocked and scoffed for thinking outside of the box, but truly I say unto you, God does not fit in a box. He never has, and he never will. Open your heart and just believe. Be like little children and stop doubting all things that I am showing you. If I tell you one thing, but someone else tells you another, who are you going to listen to, man or your Savior? Choose now who you will follow. If one truly desires to follow me, they must put all doctrines of men aside. It's simple. Don't let others invoke fear in you about something you know is truth. The truth never changes. Will you get called crazy? Yes. Will you be laughed at? Yes. They didn't like me while I was on earth, so it shall be the same with you. That is because you are not of this world. If you were of this world, the world would accept you, but children, you are not. Be grateful for that, because the earth is quickly passing away. And remember, children, when you said, when I said you could inherit eternal life, I meant it. You're Christ and the Lord of ages, Jesus Yeshua. And then she has scripts. You don't read the scriptures, Joe? Or
if you have time, that would be awesome.
Okay. So then she has Luke 11:34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, the whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is thine eye is evil, the body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no dark part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Be still and know that I am God. That was Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. This is Luke 17:20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And then Mark 10:15, verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. And then John 15:18, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were not of the world would love you. I just moved my page, too. The world would love you. Gosh. All right, just a second. I'm messing myself up here. And then, if the world hated you, you would know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not, ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That was John 15:18. And then 1 Corinthians 7:31, the world in its present form is passing away. And then 1 John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and know I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That was 1 John 10:27.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was it.
Oh, that was a good message. Excellent.
Thank you so much, Hannah.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate you doing that. So she kind of has to leave for work. That's why I kind of cut in to get
that. Oh, sure.
That's
sure.
All.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
So
thanks, sweetie.
You're welcome.
But, Let's pick right back up where we were with all the craziness that's going on. Keith, do you have news ready, or do you want to, whenever you want to do it, you let me know?
Yeah, let me know. Let me do the news, Joe.
Okay, that'd be great.
Open my computer. okay, here we go. Okay,
second. Let me find it. Okay, here we go. Okay, so the news here, let's see what's going on. It says Americans are being evacuated from Iraqi air base as militants advance. Okay, so that crazy stuff's going on in Iraq. I've not really been tracking that, but something's Al-Qaeda's taking over there, one of the, I think it was this airport or something they took over. Al-Qaeda has established a new Islamic across Syria and northern Iraq. Al-Qaeda establishes Islamic caliphate across Syria and northern Iraq. Okay. We know that, you know, part of Psalm 83 war, all the countries along the Euphrates will be wiped out, just completely decimated 100%, and that's going to come from Israel, and that is part of those countries that are along Euphrates are all Islamic. So it's interesting, and they're all setting up takeover. They're all, you know, creating their connection to each other, and then the Bible says they're going to be wiped out.
Wow.
Of course, they're waiting for their Mahdi. Their Mahdi is going to come out of the cave. They Iran says the Mahdi's in the cave, and they have to start a world war in order to get their Mahdi, their God, out of the cave. And then the Mahdi's going to come back. He's going to kill Christians and Jews, and then Jesus is going to come down, and then Jesus is going to apologize to him and repent that he's not God, and then the Mahdi's going to be God. So that's what they believe. And so their Mahdi is actually the Antichrist, which is interesting because they believe he'll only be around for 7 years and do all this craziness. Yeah, they'll see when Jesus claims his slate, claims that we'll be on horseback with him. So Iran deploys forces to fight rebels in Iraq. Oh, Lord of mercy, we're there again. Russia tanks enter Ukraine. This is breaking news. Russian tanks enter the Ukraine. Russian military columns, including tanks, have crossed into Ukraine. 3 Russian tanks have been observed. Oh, boy. Russia's going to have to hurry up because we already have a lot of our troops over there as part of the NATO. So he's already in a real bad spot right now. He should have already done it. I've been seeing a lot of different stuff, different things, and kind of clear to me that the Lord has shown me through news articles and everything else that 2015 truly will be 100% the tribulation, for sure, 100%, all the way through. That economic collapse would probably be in September. As I told you, it happens every 7 years after the Jubilee, so that would be September 2015, and that's what this article is talking about. Will there be an economic collapse in America in 2015? Yes. We're just not sure when that trip starts in 2014. Are Christians losing the culture war? I'm not really sure what that is about. Maybe whatever culture means. Southern Baptist Convention leader Russell Moore said Christians do not need to fear the gospel's ineffectiveness, even if religious liberties erode and the United States continues its moral decay. They do not need to fear the gospel's ineffectiveness. Okay. Jihad advances in Iraq. Jihad advances in Iraq sent shockwaves through the Mideast. Wow, who guessed Iraq's getting all crazy again? Story of Liberty, okay. Is a second American Revolution now inevitable? Yep, possibly, yep. Turkey continues to dry up the Euphrates. Will this pave the way for the kings of the East? Yep, because, then China's got their way to get around through the Euphrates, you know, on horseback for that Armageddon war. okay. The U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Dan Shapiro, has hoisted the gay pride flag over the embassy building in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is a huge gay pride event around the world. It's actually one of the biggest now, and they welcome. That's kind of their whole thing now, is welcoming all that. There's a woman who's appearing topless in New York City, and they said they could not arrest her because it's not against the law. Okay. Wars and rumors of war. I know, it's just the decay. Russia, China, India, a new Eurasian economy in the making. Yeah, they're all merging. Russia, China, and India, they're merging with their power of trade. Pushing back against a cultural tide of growing acceptance of transgender people, Southern Baptists adopted a statement affirming the creation of 2 distinct complementary sexes. So the Southern Baptists are taking up arms against the transgender. Transgender is interesting. I have a really good friend that she's a wonderful
woman. She's not close to God at all, but she's a wonderful woman. She's a wonderful person. I worked with it, cut hair there. And I never knew she was a guy the whole time for years. And, you know, you just wonder how God would work with someone that if they got saved. You just, you know. Aborted baby Jesus dolls across the pro-life line. With Hobby Lobby at the center of one of the most important religious liberty cases in America, it's no surprise that the Christian-owned arts and crafts company is getting its fair share of publicity. Oh, they have little baby Jesus dolls, and it says aborted. That's wild. I know, it's crazy. The Satanic Temple, which does satanic things and black masses on graves lately and stuff, is claiming gay marriage is, I think they're having gay sex and all that stuff on top of their...
sick.
The Satanic thing is just really simple. They just simply, they just want to create havoc wherever they can. Will churches be forced to perform same-sex weddings? That's probably going to happen. In 1989, Denmark became the first country to offer civil... Okay, so probably... China construction bank, the first UK clearing bank for renminbi. I think that's a China's been trying to be a clearing house as a currency for things. UK clearing bank for all the money. IMF warns of a housing bubble. Oh, this is interesting. Australian homes are among the most expensive in the world when household incomes and rents are taken into account. It's interesting. They're looking for. They're going to have a housing bubble. That's crazy. They already had ours. Large denomination RMB bills opposed in China. Okay, all right. So China's trying to control. That's one way they get into that electronic currency. They just outlaw the big bills. One-third of global corn crop faces water stress. And they said that the reason why this world, the price could go up all around the world is all because California had no water. Japan to keep printing money for years to come. Japan is doing the quantitative easing as we did, and they're just printing money as fast as they can. It's just all debt, and it's, and they're going down the drain, down the tubes, right with us. another airborne flu virus is out of control. Gay-focused tours find gold in Tel Aviv's rainbow. Yeah, a lot of gay tours there. FBI seeking facial recognition to find the bad guys. This is so sweet. Pat would like this. I'll just send it to her. 2-year-old with heart defect said she saw Jesus before she died. Aww.
Oh, nice.
Little Gazelle had a heart problem until a routine doctor's checkup several months later. She said she saw Jesus and the little pumpkin went to heaven. White House plans more transfers from Guantanamo prison. Okay. I didn't even know that thing was still running. And let's see. I like this article. It's funny. Are you on fire for God or are you just on fire? In other words, headed to hell.
No.
Sid Roth interviewed Blood Moon's author. That's Mark Phillips. He's the one that originally found those Blood Moons. He's going to have another interview on Sid Roth. And let me see what else is there. Scientists say it's extremely likely that we'll have an El Nino this year. Yes. So expect all of you, thank God I live in the desert, they can't get no water out here, but expect a lot of super crazy intense rain. It always happens when we have the super dryness like California. But expect it everywhere now. The weather is going to be like underwater everywhere else. There's tons and tons of water in the fall rain season. So get your boats out. Might move to get a houseboat or something. We'll all move in with Pat. We'll get a big houseboat.
Love houseboats.
I do too. See, Pat, we
love them.
Solar flares, okay, could send shockwaves. Friday the 13th, tomorrow, we got 3 solar flares smacking into Earth. Pat claims that there's going to be nothing going on, but I claim there is, so we'll see.
Oh, okay.
I think we're going to hit, 2 days later. It usually takes 2 days, and we're going to see big earthquakes around the world.
Earthquakes,
usually takes about 2 days before we actually see it.
Russian
bombers fly within 50 miles of the California coast. That's right.
I know. Isn't that incredible?
It's crazy. Our president, he's the Antichrist. Lord of mercy, what are they allowing that? It's the same. Okay, that's
yeah.
Isn't that crazy, Pat?
Saber rattling. 50 miles off the thing. I mean, we've got our ships just, you know, looking right in their face. So they say that the tension is going to be really high, and who knows what's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why it's happening, huh? Because we've got our, it's interesting. We've got our stuff over there, so they're getting mad and doing that to us. Gotcha. Okay.
They're daring. They're very daring. They're playing with fire. 50 miles off the coast. What are they, nuts?
They said, you know, World War II was like a one little fire, someone fired, and bam, it started. So, you know.
Tensions are very high between them off the coast and us looking at them, you know, our ship.
And then
you've
got China and Japan. China and Japan are ready to take each other out, which means we're defending Japan over there, or that darn island over there. So that's another hot spot, you know.
Yeah.
You've got, now you've got the Syrian war and the water crisis going on. They said that'll ignite something, you know.
Isn't there something, Ezekiel 38, about Damascus falling?
Yes, Damascus will fall one night. It says it'll be around no more by morning time. So that's going to be the nuke bomb that, because remember, Iran's feeding Hezbollah and all of them in Syria in order to go after Israel. That's why they're shipping in all this weaponry, and that's why Israel's taking those weapons out. But yeah, it'll be one of the prophecies is that Damascus, which is a city of a couple million people, will be taken out in one night and be gone no more by morning. That's when Iran's going to use a nuclear bomb and just eradicate the city. It's part of. I think they'll do that after they. I think after they go and take Iran's nuke sites out, Iran's going to come in from Syria, and then I think they're going to have to just nuke Damascus as part of that war. Yeah, exactly.
Oh boy. Oh yeah, yeah.
We gotta go.
Everything's right around the corner.
We gotta get out of here.
I know. It's getting really crazy, crazy, crazy.
No.
Oh boy.
Wow, that's a big news day, Keith. Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for putting all that together. I want to welcome to the line on mute area code 814. This number's not on my list. Hopefully it's a new caller. Hi, 814. You're unmuted. Thanks for holding.
Hey, it's Chris. How you doing?
Oh, I knew it was you. I remember
Chris.
That number.
What's up, Chris? How have you been, Chris? I haven't talked to you in a bit.
Not bad. Just working like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Just waiting and waiting patiently.
Yeah, you got a lot of company.
Yeah, it's just been, I've just been working like mad and just, you know, watching and waiting and watching and waiting. And, I mean, it's...
You ain't alone, honey. You ain't alone.
There's so many, there's so many people that, I was talking with Jason the other night, and him and I were talking about the fact that him and I both agree that we believe that what Jesus is waiting for right now is just the fact that he says no man knows the day or the hour. So as soon as everybody stops trying to tell me when I'm coming, I'll be there.
That's a good one. My gosh. Oh my goodness.
So you know, I just know it's gotta be so soon. Things are just getting, when I watch that, you know, the Pope do the mass, you know, with the imam and then just a couple days ago, Joel Osteen came out in endorsement of a one world religion and unity with the Catholic.
Wow.
You know, I've known Joel Osteen was a sleazebag forever, you know, and I've tried, debated with a lot of my Christian friends, and oh no, he's just he's just a, you know, prosperity teacher, but yeah, he's still anointed, and he's, you know, and I'm like, no, I'm telling you, forever I've told people, and he just showed his true colors. And Kenneth Copeland did the same thing. I couldn't believe it.
Yep. Kenneth Copeland did the same thing.
I saw the
video
last night on
it. I grew up on Kenneth Copeland, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a video about it last night. Kenneth Copeland's got 16 jets and a $23 million jet. And, you know, there was some, God had said some prophecies about them that they're not going to enter the kingdom unless they repent. Because Joyce Meyer made $140 million last year, and all her relatives are on the board making several hundred thousand dollars each. Oh, it's a big...
Oh, this one blew my mind here about a month ago. Joel Osteen's church, he took his offering for his Sunday morning service.
Yeah.
He took it back into the back. And, you know, and they took it to the vault, and he got robbed.
Yeah.
They took the offering for the day. $600,000.
Oh, that's obscene.
In one offering. He could feed a third world country with 1 week's offerings. You know, and these people, you know, are now endorsing the Pope, bringing in the whole, Islam deal and endorsing that.
Oh,
I watched a video with Kenneth Copeland doing a live video chat with the Pope.
Yeah.
You know, I about threw up.
Oh, that guy that it was preaching for him was just evil, too. It was really bad. I think the Pope,
I can't
remember
that guy.
Behind all this. I think the Pope's doing this. The Pope is reaching. The Pope
is
like looking at America, going, "Who can I get? Like, let's find the biggest churches. Let's invite them here. Let's find the biggest people around the world. That way, we'll have, because they control the millions of people. So let's just find them, and we'll include them, and tell them how, you know, we want to be one world and all that, one religion." And so I think that's why he got Olstein and Copeland and all them.
Yeah, and I can't believe they're falling for it. That's what gets me.
Oh, they are, of course.
And Copeland used to be a very, when I was a kid, my mother watched. I went to a very large church in Brooklyn, Calvary Tabernacle, and you know our pastor was super anointed, but he was modest. He was humble. He kept his humility, you know, and he was very anointed. And it was And I used to sit every morning and watch Kenneth Copeland with her, and he was a super anointed minister. He watched, you know, he stood and watched David Wilkerson raise a guy from the dead, you know, at a funeral. And now he's selling out to the Catholic Church that is now being run by, you know, no offense, Pat, I'm sorry.
Oh,
No,
there's many Catholics who are seeing red flags and being very disturbed by what's going on. The highest of the high are very disturbed. The great theologians are very disturbed.
Two things happened. I've been having some struggle with feeling the Spirit lately, okay, just because I've just been so absorbed in this new job, you know, and I'm
God understands.
I have no time to, you know, put on my armor.
Don't beat yourself up. God understands. Tell him you love. Say, Jesus, I love you, and help me with my work. This is to give you honor and glory. And don't let the enemy come against you and discourage you. God looks at your heart and your intention, and if you're sincere with the Lord, relax and enjoy him and do your work and don't have a cow over stuff. Just
worry
don't.
About it. Don't worry about it.
Well, before I started losing my real connection, I've always felt a very strong connection to the Spirit. You know, I always have. It's the thing I have. And
he's still there, honey.
I know he is. I haven't been able to feel his presence the way I did, and I think it's just because I haven't been dedicating my time like I was. You know, I still pray, I still talk to him all day, you know, but I don't set aside time for him specifically, you know, in prayer, in worship, in reading. You know, I haven't been doing that lately, and I need to fix that. But right before that, I actually felt the Spirit leading me to believe that a lot of people argue with me that that Jesus can't be coming right now because, and these are Christians, Jesus can't be coming right now because there has to be a great revival before he comes. And I keep
it's not
telling
even biblical.
Them.
Tell them it's not biblical. The revival, I thought there was going to be revival 2 years ago when the Lord brought me back in 2011. I said, Lord, there's going to be revival. And the Lord finally said, Keith, there's not going to be a revival. It is not biblical. So I said, well, let's look when it is. There is a revival in the Bible, and it is biblical. And when it is, it's in the tribulation. It is not now. So they need to go read the Bible.
Exactly.
The Bible.
Here's what the Spirit led me to. And this again, not a prophecy. It wasn't, it wasn't a vision. It wasn't anything. But the Spirit led me to some understanding. And this is what I think, just my opinion. Right now, with everything that's going on, with the Pope, this is what's going to happen, is we're going to get raptured, and then the Catholic Church is going to wake up real fast, and the, mm-hmm. Not the Catholic Church, the Catholic people, and yeah. that is going to be, do you know how many Catholics, Google how many Catholics there are in the world?
Yeah,
and that is a great revival when they
And God loves them, honey. God loves all of us so much. And they get a wake-up call. Everybody gets a wake-up call. Those people will be saved because they believe Jesus as their Savior. We all do, you know, and that's the core value that we all share is that Jesus is our Savior. I mean, it's sad, the division, and it's breaking God's heart, all the division of these denominations. It's breaking his heart.
Crazy.
Because we all believe that he is our Savior. He died for us.
Amen.
He rose on his own. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come and gain the glory to judge the living and the dead, and of his kingdom shall be no end. Our creeds are basically the same. So it's pathetic that all of us are so divided and because of theology or doctrine or whatever.
I don't even know about all those denominations. But every time I call a church, they're like, "Well, wait, we're part of the Pentecostal. We're not part of this. We don't belong to that." I'm like, "Okay, I don't know what that is, but like, okay, I've vaguely heard
what?
That. Like, but whatever. Just, you love Jesus.
So
okay,
what? Do you believe
you know,
Jesus is your Savior and He died for you? Do you believe that with all your heart?
So,
well, hello.
Okay. Yep.
What else
are
you looking for?
Like, I don't know. None of that.
I mean, really. We've got to all get together and do it in a very sincere way that honors God, not with a bunch of phony, baloney nonsense.
The Pope thinks he's doing that. He thinks he's bringing all these people together, you know, and he's going to put them all under one system, and we're going to all accept, you know, we're going to Islam and Muslim, and like he says, they all worship the same God, and it's all the same, and the world is going to say,
wow, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You don't go to heaven unless you believe Jesus is your Savior.
Yeah.
I mean, he said that clear as bell in Scripture.
Yes.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. So, hello, world. What part of that don't you understand?
And
why aren't
why
you working toward understanding that?
The Pope had said recently that Jesus was a great man, but he wasn't the Son of God. I was like,
that's gonna when he comes back, man, this world's gonna wake up very fast. It won't even take any fireballs. It's just him standing in the sky on the white horse. You know, every knee shall bend.
The world is going to fall for it. The Pope is even saying now that you can, you know, like everybody's included in the church now. He basically, I mean, he's a false prophet, so he wants to get everybody signed on to that
program. No, there's a lot of red flags here. I'm online with thousands of people and with very high theologians of the Catholic faith, and they are writing red flags, and they say he could very well be the last pope, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and it's a lot of Catholics are looking at this, you know.
Really?
But you know, Jesus has got us all in His heart, in His arms. So no matter where you're from or whatever, we all belong to Him, and He's got a way to take care of all of us if you want Him to. If you invite Him into your life sincerely, genuinely, then He's yours and you're His, and let Him work in your life. If He wants you to be with certain people, you're going to be with them. If He wants you over here or He wants you over there, just listen to Him. You know, it's not going to be the same for everybody. It's going to be different.
10 years ago, we would have never...
Yeah.
Go ahead,
no.
Pat.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd have never thought this 10 years ago, but now you see, like, you can really see Bible, the revelation is coming true. It's so crazy. Like, you can see all this, like, world religion forming together under our nose right before right now with Ken Copeland and all these people. It's moving fast. It's like, wow.
God gives the Holy Spirit to everybody, so talk to the Holy Spirit and find out what you're supposed to be with God. If you're breathing, there's a reason. Everyone's here on a mission. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? And do it. It's so simple. Have a genuine relationship with the Lord. Ask Him. Ask Him. Just ask Him. And He will let you know. He might have some surprises for you. He might take you away from where you are and put you somewhere else. Just follow His lead and obey. Obey the Holy Spirit within you. I'm a firm believer that if you have a good relationship with the Lord, genuine and sincere and childlike and humble, and you want to be forgiven and you want to forgive others, you know, you're going to hear from Him. He's going to tell you. He's going to guide you. Right. He's going to protect you. Yes, put on the armor of Ephesians, you know. Yes, cover yourself. I love Carol. Cover yourself with the precious blood of Christ. Yes. But he'll help you. He'll guide you. He'll protect you. He'll love you. He'll invite you. He'll hold you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of nice et ceteras with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are or where you're from. Get that relationship with him, and you don't have to worry about another thing because he will guide the ship. Let him. Let him. You've got to invite him.
I saw that video today. There's a video of that whole,
Amen.
It's like a reality show of, like, the latest L.A. preachers. There's, like, seven preachers in L.A. that drive in, like, Bentleys and the whole prosperity mm-hmm. thing, and they're claiming that, you know, it's all mm-hmm. about millions, and we got it, and we're following God's plan. And it's like a whole reality show about it. It's called, I think, Preachers of L.A. Oh, yeah, it's like bling, bling all over. They're talking about how many millions. They got, like, millions and millions, and they said, you know what? This is the plan. God wants me to have all this. It's interesting.
No, take all your millions
and
give it to the poor. Give it to the poor.
Yes.
So, you know, just
that's what Jesus
God
said
will provide
too. He said a lot
for
of
you.
The, a lot
God
of
wasn't rich on earth.
I mean, Jesus wants us to be blessed, but he's one prophecy Jesus
said
that a lot of them are
with insanity.
Kind of,
you know, mm-hmm. with cheapers. You know,
they're creating reasons to bring in more money.
Money is the root of all evil. There's a reason it's said for that.
The love of money.
And all these people who
win
all these lotteries and everything, maybe they're really good at first, but then it deteriorates them. Don't tell me it doesn't, because I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
And everybody, all of a sudden you have friends coming out of the woodwork.
Remember, money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. You know, remember
that.
Well,
whatever.
Money,
you know, that,
right, you
that
know
can,
that. But the love,
that
the key is where's your intention at? Where's your heart is? Where your God is?
Satan used that to bring you down and take you away from God. Because
Absolutely.
Once you're not a child anymore with God, depending on him, and maybe you've got too much money, so it just deteriorates you. It takes you away.
Oh, okay.
There's a few rare souls that maybe it doesn't. They got it right, you know.
I don't know why
the
people are impressed with money.
Yeah.
I mean, I always say they have a nicer... When people get money, like in L.A., and my friend has all these Rolls Royces, I said, all they do is have a nicer car than yours and a bigger house. That's it. I mean, that's it.
That's
like,
their ego. Ego is pride, and pride is what made the enemy fall. And he'll use that to make you fall. And he'll use money to do it. Believe you me, yeah.
But that prosperity gospel, Jesus said a lot of those prosperity preachers are not going to be in trouble, I think, you know. So I'm always praying for Joel Osteen because his daddy was a really powerful man.
Just pray for them. Pray the Holy Spirit touches their hearts. Don't condemn. Don't judge. Just pray for. I just pray for everybody. I don't care who they are, where they are. I say, Holy Spirit, convict them if you have to, but get them where they're supposed to be in relationship with God. And you know, maybe they will give all those millions away, and they'll help people.
I hope so.
You know.
I hope so.
Keep praying for everybody. You don't want anybody going to hell. You don't want anybody going to hell.
Down a road. A few of his disciples were with him, and merchants went by in a carriage, and they said, rich merchants, said to him, Lord, what can we do to be saved? And he said, sell all your possessions and give your money to the poor. And they were like, no, but Lord, you know, you don't understand.
You don't understand, right? I have a lot.
that's okay for, like, upper middle class people. They were like, we're loaded, Lord. Like, we can't do that. You know, they're just... a certain way. And he said, you know, he talked in parables, as always, because it was just timeless that way. But he said it would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to see my Father's kingdom. And it's so true. I mean, money is such a lure, and what we're talking about is case in point. I mean, we see these people get drawn away by it, you know?
Yes,
away.
It destroys them because Satan gets right in there with it, you know.
I think a lot of it is because, like, you know, it's like we all live our life for our treasures in heaven, but I think when you have a million, like my friend Ken who has all the 55 cars or Rolls Royce, I think the reason why money's within heart to get into heaven is because they're building all the treasures on earth. I'm always telling them, Ken, you're building your treasures on earth, and God wants you to build them in heaven. He's like, but I got all my stuff on earth. I'm like, but when you die, you're going to be the same as the poor person next to you. You're going to be naked, no clothes on your back, and you're going to be the same in line.
The only
thing
you're going to enter is the love that you have for God. That's what's going to, count only. Only the love is going to count.
In heaven. I said, who cares about
not your Rolls Royce
or
your fancy
gone dog
or your jewels. And just it's going to be, did you love me? That's what it's going to ask you. Did you love me? What did you do on earth for me? You know, that's what it's going to ask you.
And I think
I have 55 Rolls Royces. That's what I did.
And you'll see on earth, too. There's like a verse in the Bible that says, like, the next generation will... You know, I don't know where it's at, but it basically talks about the fact, and you see this on earth, like some person will build a huge empire and blah, blah, blah. They built a product for Johnson & Johnson and blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
it was amazing. And then you'll see the grandson take over, right, or whatever. He's like screwing around, sells all the stuff and doing coke all day. You know what I'm saying? He'll take the whole mansion, have it smashed. But you know what I'm saying? That's what he shows you, like trash. you know, it's gone. Bye-bye.
It's very precarious with the money thing. It really is. And it's sad to see these mega churches with all the money and whatever.
Yeah.
And you're preaching God's word, but all that money, somehow it's got to I'm thinking it's only my thoughts. It's corrupting you in a way.
Yeah.
And you're riding around in jets and everything else, and they have every excuse. Yeah. They say, well, I need to get around.
I know. They showed
interview
where the woman, she was, like, dying of cancer. Poor thing. She's in heaven now. But her daughter was just crying. She said, my mom was dying of cancer, and she sent all her money to Ken Copeland because she just thought that she was going to get her a miracle, you know. And
it's all a scam. I'm sorry. Yes, I had a preacher on, send me $1,000, and all these miracles are going to happen. And it's like you got to be kidding, you know. No way. I turned
a lot
it
of
off,
believe
like,
that, though. The older people will believe it sometimes, and they will, you know.
And they're broke. They're broke,
like,
and they get nothing back because these guys are scams.
I know. I'm so sad.
They're scams.
So sad.
But, pray for them. Pray before they take their last breath, and they have to face judgment. Pray. Just say, Holy Spirit, convict them so that they'll change. And look at the tax collector. He changed his whole way when Jesus said, come follow me. And he was cheating everybody left and right. And he says, I will give double back. And he changed his whole life. So pray that attitude hits all these preachers or whoever's out there making money off of people, that, you know, they'll be convicted before they take their last breath, because otherwise it's as you live, you die. You know, so you're going to answer before him. God is merciful. He doesn't want to lose one soul.
There's that Asian guy. Remember in the 80s, the Asian guy, he was worth $150 million. Now, back in the 80s, that was a lot of cash. $150 million.
Oh, yeah.
He has Rolls Royce. He had a heart attack, and he went to heaven. And he said, Jesus, I want to see my mansion. I know I got a lot of stuff, because he started 400 churches, which is a whole heck of a lot. And he said, Lord, I got to see my mansion. I just know I got a huge mansion. I'm so excited. And Jesus said, well, I don't really want to show it to you. Because, you know, he's like, no, I need to see it. So the Lord said, okay, I'll let you see it. The mansion was like a house that was being built. It was only one floor, no walls, no nothing. And the guy was just devastated. He was crying. Lord, I thought I had a mansion. He went down the list of all the things he did for Jesus. I got 400 churches. I had Rolls Royces. I did a lot for you. And Jesus said, Jesus said, you took all the glory. It was all about you. You got all the glory. You got all the praise. You were more interested in the reward from men than you were for me. And that's what you got. He had a little plaque on the wall. So he said, he never told me I had to give away his money, though. He just said, when you go back, he said, I want you to build, like, this place for the nuns. There was, like, some nuns that needed a place to live. They were, like, poor, whatever. Build a place for them. There's another poor group of poor women. Build a house for them. So when he went back, he changed. He wasn't the high-polished, Maserati talking man. In fact, he went back. The Lord never told him to give his money away. But when he came back, he cried in front of everybody. He said, I have changed. He gave away all $150 million, and he gave all his time and effort to the poor. And after that, he got all his, the Lord took him up to heaven. He had his mansion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lesson it's a lesson for others. You know, as you live, you die, you know. And you think you're doing your hot stuff, and boy, you're going to be in hot stuff because you're not hot stuff before the Lord. You know, really.
The word in the Bible also speaks of heavenly riches, and that, my friends, is almost the opposite of worldly riches.
Mm-hmm.
And those are timeless.
Yeah.
You know, our Lord says your heavenly riches, they will not tarnish, you know, like gold and silver will. You know, these things are going to pass away, but those heavenly riches. I mean, think about all the
heavenly riches, not things that moths can eat and rust can take. You know. Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you, Matt. What do you have?
Mary Beth had a message about, we were talking about spiritual attacks still occurring to the end, and she had a nice, it's only two paragraphs, but I thought it would be kind of interesting to read because, it kind of covers what we're all kind of going through. She has a video, but she's just talking about the video, so I'm just going to read what she's saying. The second video I am posting below is to remind us, too, that the spiritual warfare attacks are still continuing in our lives and will do so until the day Jesus takes his bride. Get used to it. This is why he blessed us with his teaching of the tools, so use them each and every day. This is a major, very important piece to our heavenly armor we need while on this earth, because remember, we do not fight flesh and blood, but principalities, darkness, and evil that never cease in their plots to steal or destroy the children of the Lord. But remember that our Father in heaven, who sits on his throne, has a very special place in his garden for those that overcome what was allowed in their earthly lives, and God places their highly polished bronze or gold-etched stone brick in the center of his path, where he walks each day, and he sees their name written every day during his walk through his garden, so he can watch and delight in their refining, their endurance, and their faith. Those names that are etched in the bricks of God's garden that have to be polished and now shine so bright are the overcomers. They are our names that God keeps close to his heart each day he walks in his garden, his most favorite spot. I will tell you this, my friends, those that have had the most trials, testing, hammering, chiseling, refining in their earthly lives, well, those of them that have had their names etched not only on the stones in God's garden, but written and held tight in the garden of God's heart, those names that have been polished over and over due to their walk on earth, just think how bright your name shines straight up to God's eyes. Your name is brought up to him front and center each morning, where he then keeps his sight upon you. How pleasing is that? So what I'm saying here, after each attack, our names get polished and shine. Can you just imagine how bright most of ours are? Wow. That's what she says. So, you know, a little reminder that we're still going to have our battles with the enemy, but we know what to do about that. You know, we put on the armor and stay close to the Lord and trust him, trust him, trust him, trust him. He's got it all. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, but he's got it all. So we don't have to worry about a thing. If you're walking sincerely with him, just listen to him, you know, and be happy, be cheerful. You don't walk around with sad faces, you know. I know it's not easy sometimes, but just put on a smile anyway. They say if you're in a down mood, just smile, and your mood will change, because the smiling changes everything. So just put that smile on for God. All the time he's saying, be cheerful, be happy. You know, serve me in joy, you know. You're my children, serve me in joy. And know that he's got it all covered. He's got our backs. He's got it all figured out, of course, and we just have to trust. We have to trust one day at a time, one moment at a time. Not the moment before, not the moment coming. Right now, Jesus, I love you. I trust you. I'm yours. You're mine. And we're going to make this day work. And if I have to cheer you up, I'll cheer you up. You know? Reach those arms out to him and say, Lord, find your way into my arms and your head on my heart and let me hold you. And if you want to cry your eyes out, my heart will catch your tears. That's how you talk to him. And he loves it. He's human like we are.
Yeah, what do you think, Jerry? Jerry's kind of quiet today. Jerry, what do you think?
Yeah. You guys have been doing great. I'm just sitting here loving it. I still got the smile I had from last Sunday. This is just awesome. I just love it. I would say one thing. I'm not a person that gets scared very much, but I was involved a few years ago in a discussion about Joel Osteen, of whom I really had no opinion at the time. And God gave me a vision. And in that vision were a couple of Bible verses. And I didn't know immediately that the vision related to this subject. And they were extremely negative. And it scared me big time. And I had to really pray about it. And finally, he clarified for me, because I had participated in the discussion, but I didn't have a very strong opinion. And he gave me a very, very powerful message that was extremely negative about Joel Osteen.
Wow. Wow, really?
Yeah, it was wow. Literally one of the, it, personally, as a God-fearing person, it was the one of the scariest things I have ever experienced.
Oh, wow.
And so I know his history and, you know, the family history and all that. But, I mean, just, you know, for the benefit of anybody out there, I mean, you know, you could obviously seek your own leading. But until I knew it was about him, it was just really was about the scariest thing I've ever experienced. And there was no doubt in my mind it was from God, the message. It was scary. Now, some of the others, you know, obviously, things are headed in the right direction, but it was
it was, I don't remember the verses and whatever right now, but it was about Joel Osteen, and it was extremely condemning from God.
Wow.
Well, God's looking at, you know, the thing that God's looking at is, besides Joel Osteen, he's looking at his influence. You know, that's where the judgment comes down. He's looking at the influence these people have when they're influencing. I think I was seeing this weekend, like, 600,000 people are going to be, like, in this huge thing out. You know, it's just thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Just whatever this person says, they're like, yes, I believe that. They don't care what Jesus says. They care what Joel Osteen says. That's where, like the Lord is telling me right now, that's where the problem is, you know, because they've got so much influence over people and they're one of the angels had said in this prophecy I read to God, they're talking, angel had said something to someone about how, you know, that Jesus is backing this up, that they're responsible for their flock, these churches, you know, and God holds them responsible. So which is why I would never want to be a pastor. Thank God for that. But he says he holds these pastors responsible for their flock. So if you've got millions of people around the world, like Joel Osteen, that's watching you, God holds you responsible for the flock. So if you're saying watered down stuff, it's the feel good stuff. It makes everybody. In order to have a big church day, you have to say something that doesn't offend anybody. Because if you don't offend anyone at all, you'll have an even bigger church. So just be sweet talk to them. And remember that verse. There's a verse in the Bible, itching ears, want to hear something about the end times where they'll hear things that will tickle their ears. So as long as you talk like. Basically, what I call Osteen and a lot of the modern people, I call them Anthony Robbins. I'm sure you guys all know who he is. Feel good. They're basically motivational speakers. Osteen never mentions Satan, hell, sin, or Jesus most of the time. It's always just, you know, relationships, and you can do it. You're going to be successful. We know everything that everyone's going through, just normal life relationships. And as long as you do feel-good talks, you'll have all the women there going, man, I'm going through all this stuff in my relationships. And all the guys going there, I need to make more money. And all the kids there going, oh, this is great, I love it, you know. And just, all the grandmas there going, oh, my daughter's happy. And all relationship stuff. And that's what it's all centered around. And that's, the Lord is not interested in you and Osteen or anybody holding meetings to make people feel better about the life they're already living. He wants them to talk about the rapture, the end times, Jesus is coming back, look at the signs around you. Not, we're back in 1982, Cyndi Lauper's on the radio and everybody's having a good time again. We're not back in the 80s. We're at the end of times. And that's what he wants them talking about. And they're not doing it. In fact,
no churches are talking about it.
They're not doing it because, you know, if you stood up like David Wilkerson and you talk about the heavy things of the Bible, people are going to run for the doors and you ain't going to get no tithes that way. Let me tell you, you'll get no tithes. So if you want to make more tithes, you got to start, you know, put the butter on it. Put the butter in the sugar. Give them candy cane. You know, sweet talk it. Sweet talk it. And, you know, tell them what they want to hear and the tithes will grow. And that was the biggest problem the Lord shared with me is God told me the biggest problem with the pastors have always been is the fact that, you know, they have to make those tithes to make a living, you know, because that's what they live off of. But they want to make more tithes, so then over time they're like, wait a minute, that sermon was so hardcore on the rapture, no one came back to church that week and I made no money, so I'm going to switch over here to feel-good stuff, and then I can get my new house and car, and it'll just keep going. And pretty soon you have a mega church on your hand, you know, and you've got people walking away going, wow, I feel so good, that was such a great sermon. I feel so good, I'm great, it's all good. Let's go get our Mercedes and have a good time today, you know.
And you know,
it's prosperity preaching.
You know why people feel when people feel good when they leave a church like that? It's because they've trusted the pastor to shepherd them properly. And when they can go into a service and feel good coming out without any condemnation, it's not that they should always feel condemned. It's that they have put trust in the pastor to properly lead them. And then when they don't feel any negativity, it's like, oh, I'm all good, you know.
Yeah,
right.
I'm not challenged, and I've been given a positive message. But their faith has been in those pastors to do the right thing, and they had the pastors haven't delivered.
And they figured, how could the pastor be wrong? Therefore, if I'm feeling good about all this, I'm not wrong either, you know. But who's asking the Lord?
I want to mention. There were a couple people in chat that were asking what the message was, and I didn't actually say what the message was, but it was a message of condemnation. And the reason they didn't say what it was is I can't remember what the Bible verses were off the top of my head, but it was a very strong message of condemnation. And The meaning of the verses was having no future dwelling with in heaven. Let's put it that way. They were very strong messages of condemnation. It was very startling and shocking. And
look at all those people misled.
I don't even still have a personal opinion. The only opinion I have is what he gave me. And because it was so strong, I felt like I should pass that along.
Jerry.
Yeah.
On the barn, there's an 6-year-old kid or an 8-year-old kid named Kyle that he gets a lot of prophetic dreams, and he gets to see where leaders are on the body. Like some people are the heart, the legs, the chin of Jesus. And he said Joel Osteen was not even close to the body.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I
could actually post it in chat if you want me to, but
wow.
Yeah. So that's a confirmation right there. He wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
The discussion that was I was only sort of a third party to the discussion, but, you know, I had a few minor exchanges in it that other people were having their positive and negative opinions, and I was like, well, you know, I don't really know. And then God gave me, I was asleep, but it was definitely a vision. It was very out of the ordinary. And anyway, when it was all said and done, it was highly condemning, and I was very startled because at first I didn't realize it was for him, but then it became clear it was. But in either case, I was startled because I don't think it's one of the most negative things I have ever experienced in from a spiritual leading point of view.
Wow.
And where churches are concerned, you know, while some of you were speaking, and I think Keith, I was reminded that, you know, we've been going to a church for a long time that, you know, on balance was a pretty good church. They do a lot of work, church planning, da 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 da.
Yeah.
But they would teach, they're a non-denominational church, and they would teach that they were basically spirit-led. But it wasn't like a Pentecostal type of thing. They just said, you know, they just take their lead from the Holy Spirit. But that was in a class about the church, but I'm not sure I ever heard the Holy Spirit even mentioned in a sermon. And, you know, so
I'm not surprised. I mean, I've called like 55 churches here, and I go, wait a minute, your website says that you believe in healing and you believe in equipping people, and he's like, no, we don't do any of that. I'm like, well, okay, let me read their website to you. I mean, sometimes I like tell my brother, wait, I think we got the wrong website. I'm like, I tell you got to take the website down, because I'm literally reading, we are equipped, we're going to get you out there, we're going to get you healed, we're going to just equip all the bride, right? And then you're talking to them, like, some secretary is like, no, we just started. We don't do any of that. Stop it now.
Yeah, right.
Whoa.
Wow.
I mean, so they're all saying all this nonsense, and then they're just doing something totally different. I always see, whenever I call these churches, I can see into the spirit of the church, and 9 times out of 10, the Lord shows me a picture of dead bones, and that's exactly what it is.
Oh, wow.
Dead. Just dead.
Wow.
That's scary.
You know, I see here.
Go ahead. Sorry, Jerry. Go ahead.
Well, I just noticed Carol making a post in chat that Baghdad is falling, breaking news. And,
really?
You know, yeah, that's what she just posted.
Wow, yeah, look at that. Yeah.
And,
oh, my gosh.
And, man, somebody must have given them the easy button because that just makes no sense. I mean, that's just way too easy if that's the case.
Wow.
You know, but this, you know, we're not even, you know, we're seeing theater that isn't even good theater. I mean, right now. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just escalating. It's getting more crazy all the time.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Our wings, with each news report, our wings are getting bigger and bigger.
I got a word today. And it's not too long, and I think I should read it.
Okay,
please, thank you.
And my biggest challenge at the moment is going to be reading my handwriting, but I'll do my best. To those who pursue me, faithful you are to follow my trail of breadcrumbs. My love abounds in you. The foundation will carry, this foundation will carry you forward. I do these things so that every step is taken. Each step of your walk has merit and purpose. There must be no shortcuts. This is why I show you a little at a time. Also, I motivate you to continue to seek clues from me. Sorry, I just have to read it this way. Rest your spirit in my loving rest your spirit in my loving grace. Seek to share this place with others. Remind people of my love and grace, which I will spread towards all as the opportunity increases. Some will fight me. This is the coming conflict. I love all peoples and my land. So he loves the people and land. I will fight for them all, your loving bridegroom, Jesus.
Aww. Amen. Wow.
So,
wow.
Beautiful.
And
wow.
Michelle, why don't you do our communion?
I was just going to ask if you guys were ready to do something.
Joe and I are connected. Our minds are connected.
For real, Keith and I are sharing a brain over here. Yeah. All right, brothers and sisters, I'm like the Four Walls Church, which has just fallen into the routine where I basically, I mean, I've just seen it on TV, but it looks like they just get in line and put a wafer in your mouth, and I don't even think you drink anything. But us, I want to remember, and our Lord wants us to remember, and, you know, everything, all the blessings we have, the rapture we're waiting for, it's all because our Lord did this. But we're about to remember. He gave his life for us. He gave his perfect life so that we could have salvation. So let us respectfully and honorably, graciously, and just so wholeheartedly do this for our Lord. Let us give thanks. On the night the Lord was about to be betrayed, the Last Supper, he took a loaf of unleavened bread, and he broke it. He said, "This means my body, which I give in your behalf. Keep doing this in remembrance of me." Let us eat together. Later in the meal, our Lord did likewise, respecting his cup, filled it with wine, said, "This cup means the new covenant. By virtue of my blood, keep doing this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us drink together. For as often as you eat this loaf, drink this cup, you keep proclaiming the death of our Lord until he arrives. On our king is the most righteous, coolest, deserving king of all time. Discuss. I'm kidding. Anything? Anything anyone wants to discuss or has to say?
You want me to read here now?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, okay, let's see. She says, Lord, let the blessings shower upon others. May not one word be lost, just to think a word of yours. Oh, hold on a minute. I got to shut this off. I got to turn this off. He's talking about Yellowstone, this guy. No, it's getting really crazy. I just trying to
he
find out what's going on.
He sounded pretty excited.
Oh, he's crazy. He's from the Ukraine, or not the Ukraine, or Australia somewhere. He's cuckoo, but he's very on mark about everything that's going on. He's crazy, but I love listening to him. Anyway, I'm going to read. I'll let you know what he says.
Right.
He's cuckoo,
on.
But anyway, I love him. He's talking about Yellowstone and stuff. Like Mary Greeley and a bunch of the Marts. Anyway, we're out of here, so we're in Yellowstone. Okay, you will see the effects of my tender love. Don't you know that I give far more than you expect? Haven't you noticed this spiritually, materially? Then be sure to look upon me as a companion of all your moments. Just now in the garden you said, are you there? I am always there, ready for any little word of your heart, ready for a wish, a smile. You wanted to praise my soul, and this was fitting, for my soul suffered most among the souls of men, and that is why I have the highest glory in heaven. Do you know why I suffered the most? Because I had the greatest capacity for love. Will you at least believe in my love? Very simply, every moment, no matter what happens, and with the greatest joy? And she says, "How I should like to, Lord. What is there in my brain that keeps me from being absolutely certain?" And he says, "Call me by the tenderest names, names like wings beating upwards, and you too will mount upwards." In the street, she smiled at a passerby who returned her smile, and he said, "It's like that. When your heart smiles at me, I smile back." So yes, sweet Jesus.
I love it when you read.
Oh, I love to read. Whatever I can give you, anybody, anywhere, just to get you in those arms, you know, and don't leave. That's what he said one time in here. He said, I would just hold you in my arms all the time. I would never, never let you go. If only I could hold, just you could be in my arms, like, all the time. It's just so sweet. It's just so sweet. He pursues. He's like, I had a friend. She says, oh, Jesus is so, he's so passionate. She says, he's like a crazy lover who just pursues you all day long. Oh, you're right on, right on. He never stops, you know. He's just constantly after you to love him. That was so cute. Yeah, that was my friend Elizabeth. She passed away, so she's with the Lord.
God bless her.
Yeah, she's in his arms all the time now. He's got her. She's so funny. Oh, it's just so funny, you know. But anyway. Yeah, he's a sweet love. He really is our God. He really is. You can't imagine when you say to him, I love you, you know, what that means to him. Because we're living by faith. We haven't seen him. We're still marrying, you know, and we're loving him without knowing. And that means so much to him, everything to him. And even if you're busy in the day, like Chris was saying, he's working. Chris, don't worry about it. Just he knows your heart. He knows that you love him. So don't go on emotions and feelings. It's the will. He knows you love him. You'll have your times alone. You'll have your moments when you feel again. But, you know, if you have to work right now and you're where he wants you to be, it's for anybody out there. Just say, Jesus, where do you want me to be? Put me there. Inspire me. He will. He will. If you ask him sincerely, keep it simply, he will. So if you have to work, work. But bless the people around you. Be his love, too. Them, pray for them, you know, and you're an apostle even at work because you're constantly praying for the people there or giving them to the Lord, or when you can, the Holy Spirit will inspire you to talk about him, you know. So you know, all kinds of opportunities. Don't get stressed, you know. Just say, Jesus, I want to be with you. Yeah, oh, you can be with them all day at work. My friend worked at the deli, and I said, with every time you hand them that package of cheese or whatever, say in your heart, Jesus, bless this person, help them with whatever problems. And you've prayed for them. So even though you're working, you're praying for people. You're blessing them. Anybody can do this. You can make your work, you know, an apostleship.
Yeah, he's like my work buddy. I'm a cook, yes. So I spend a lot of time in the kitchen making different soups and sauces and things for, you know.
No, I've been there. I managed the barrels, and, yes. Yes.
And I just, it's just like my buddy, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It gets to a point to where I am not just like, thank you, Jesus, thank you. Oh, Jesus, I love you. It's just like, oh,
that's
well, what do you think about
hear,
this?
That's what he wants to hear, honey.
What's
that's
going
what he
on
wants
with
to
this?
Hear.
Oh, look at this tomato. Doesn't it look different from this? And, you know, just like...
He loves it, honey. He loves it. He loves
it. And it makes me feel amazing. Amazing.
Yes. He said to Gabrielle, he said, you hear that bird in the tree from 4:30 in the morning to 10 at night? He says, I wish you would just talk to me nonstop like that. Okay? So he loves it. He loves it. You're doing what you should be doing. You know? Yeah. Keep it simple, just for the moment, and be all his, and don't have any stress, you know, because he wants you to be happy and cheerful with him. He really does.
And if you have any secrets, he won't tell anyone.
No, he won't. And you won't tell anybody his.
Yeah, exactly.
We have 3 minutes, guys.
Yeah, guys, if we could please fulfill a request for our loving, lovely sister Gemma in chat, who we all know and love. Her uncle has passed away. His name was John.
Oh.
And Gemma just wants us to pray for his salvation. You know, he's just become a Catholic. She's not sure where he is in his walk, but
he's with God.
He's with God.
He's with God. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Gemma, I know you hear that. So.
He's with God, honey. Don't worry about it.
No worries.
We ask God to comfort you now and the family and cover you with his blood and wounds and just his peace and mercy and love and just hold you in his arms and comfort you, you know, and give you whatever comfort you need and the family needs, you know. Amen and amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. The comfort has to go to you and the family now. Leave him in God's mercy and love.
Yeah. I just got a word from the Lord, too, that the Lord just told me that he's with him as well. I just got that.
Yes, I have no doubts. I have no doubts at all. I have no
doubts
at all.
Thank you,
Keith. Yeah.
Thank you, Pat.
No.
Thank you,
Pat. No, he's with God. God is so sweet and merciful. He really is. As he says in way, he says, it rests me to forgive. I want to forgive. Ask me to forgive you. You know, he says, I love to forgive. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, he's precious.
Love you, everybody. Love you, Joe.
Okay. Love you,
Jackie.
Everybody.
Love you, Jerry.
Bye, everybody.
Everybody. Chat, everybody. Love
Cameron.
You guys.
Everybody. Love you, Nick.
Yeah.
Love everyone out there.
Everybody online. Everybody out there. Yeah. We love you
all.
We're here for you.
We love you, Jane. Love you, little
love
John.
Love you, Judy, listening.
You,
little John, absolutely.
Bye,
Gabriel.
Yes. We love you, Judy.
Joe.